Passages Matthew 18, 21 to 35, and it starts on page 985 of the Church Bibles. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
Thanks, Karuna. Do keep that passage open. And I'll just pray as we spend some time looking at it. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand what Jesus is teaching here, to understand it as challenge and as good news, and that we would be a people who are shaped by Jesus. Amen. C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea, until they have something to forgive, as we had during the war. And then to mention the subject at all is to be greeted with howls of anger. It's not that people think it's too high and difficult a virtue. It's that they think it hateful and contemptible." There's something really important that C.S. Lewis captures in that little bit there. Forgiveness is both attractive and repellent. It's attractive because it's obviously necessary for people who make mistakes to forgive each other if they're going to live in harmony. It's attractive because we all make mistakes and we all want other people to forgive us. But it's repellent because when it's demanded of us, it seems to demand that we overlook injustice. We let the wicked get away with what they have done to us. Yeah. And what Jesus tells us in today's passage is impossibly hard until we see what God has done. So let's look first at the impossible demand to forgive. It begins with Peter asking in verse 21, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" Up to seven times. And I think Peter is being pretty generous. Seven times. So imagine someone who sins against you. They insult you to your face in anger. And then the next day they apologize and you forgive them. But the next month they do the same thing and they insult you and they say hurtful things and they make you feel rubbish. And then they apologize the next day and ask for forgiveness. And you forgive them and you continue to be friendly and you try not to keep bringing up the fact that they've hurt you inside in all these ways. But it happens the next month and the next month. And by the end of 6 months, most of us would have said, "Look, you're not being serious about this apology. It's not working. Stop. Yeah, we're just going to not, I'm not going to forgive you. I've done my duty." But Jesus says, verse 22, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." There's some debate about whether it's 70 times 7 or 77 times, but I think Jesus isn't trying to sort of raise the legal level. He's saying, stop counting. That's the practical point. Stop counting. As many times as the person who sins repents and apologizes and asks for forgiveness, you keep forgiving them. And we feel like saying, okay, well, yeah, for little mistakes, sure, you know, the sort of, if you've got to wipe the sink after the washing up, that's forgivable. What about the big ones? What about the ways that anger and greed and lies hurt us and others? Should I keep forgiving those? And notice Peter has asked about sins against me. Not ways that people annoy me, ways that they've actually done something wrong to me. And there is a caveat implied in the story. The caveat is the person has come to say, sorry, I've done wrong, they've admitted it. So forgiveness is not merely, I failed to notice the sin. Both the one who sinned and the one who was sinned against have expressed the fact there was this sin, it's serious. You know, in the story, there's money owed. Both sides know that. And the one who owes the money owns up to it. I'm in debt. I was wrong. Please forgive me. So we're not being called here to simply ignore sin. But last week we saw that if someone is ignoring their sin, we're meant to confront them. But then when they say sorry, when they repent, then we need to forgive them. But even with that caveat that they have to admit they've done wrong, it's still an impossible demand. So verse 28, the servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Does anyone in this room have silver coins? Anyone got any silver coins in their collection? Oh, a couple of people have silver colored coins. I don't know if they're full silver. So apparently 100 silver coins was 100 days salary. So we're talking £10,000. So it's a very significant amount of money. If you lend someone £10,000 and then they don't pay you back, unless you're very rich, you'll notice that. It'll be painful not to get that money back. So this is real sin we're talking about, costly to forgive sin. And this is the point we mustn't dodge. Jesus calls us to keep forgiving sins of this magnitude. It's pretty costly. He's not just talking about small annoyances you forgive, big sins you don't forgive. He's saying real sin, words spoken in anger that destroy us and swirl around inside us and stir up our old wounds and insecurities, or the theft and misuse of our property that costs us time and money we don't really have, or lies told about us that damage our reputation and destroy our plans, the betrayal of trust and promises that leave us hurt and uncertain, physical threats or violence. The person repents, they say they're wrong, they apologize, they say they're not going to do it again, but forgiving them is costly. Forgiving them is costly. It's taking the debt price ourselves rather than demanding that they pay the price. And if they sin again, we're to forgive them again and again. And so I think to get the real sense of this story, we need to get that Jesus is asking us to do something that's impossible. And if this is the impossible condition of getting forgiveness, then we're in trouble. If you have to do this impossible thing first and then God will forgive you, it looks like we're sunk. But Jesus actually tells the story in the opposite order to the way I'm telling it. He doesn't start with the impossible condition. He starts with the amazing forgiveness of God. The thing that empowers our forgiveness is that God has already forgiven us. Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So again, anyone got a bag of gold? No, you didn't have silver, so you probably haven't got gold. But one bag of gold was apparently 20 years of a day labourer's wage. So roughly 20,000 a year multiplied by 20 years, £400,000. One bag is 400,000. He owes 10,000 bags. He owes £4 billion. There is one person in the world being pursued in court for that amount at the moment, a guy called Mike Lynch, who sold Autonomy to HP in 2011 and is now being pursued for fraud for $5 billion. So, you know, there are people who occasionally do rack up this sort of debt, but it's pretty hard. And if that money's gone, if the investments are gone or whatever, then there is no way any person can expect to pay that back. So he's going to be made a slave along with his family to pay back what he can. A small bit will be recovered that way. That's how it works in the ancient world. And what gets him out of this isn't some scheme where he says, I'll pay you back. It's the king has pity on him and cancels the debt and let him go. Do you see the point? This servant who is being asked to forgive this £10,000 debt has already been forgiven a £4 billion debt. He's being asked to show forgiveness. It's really hard. It's genuinely hard. But what he has been forgiven is vastly greater. And it was meant to be this grace, this pity, this forgiveness that should have empowered his forgiving of others. And that's one of the things for us. If we're finding it hard to forgive, where do we go? We go to see what God has done to forgive us. How much has God forgiven us? In the story, the debt difference is 40,000 times difference. So I think that gives us a way of thinking about our sin against God is 40,000 times more serious than the worst sin someone has committed against us. And we probably don't really believe that. At the point when we're going, God, what you're asking me to forgive someone, like, I can't do it, it's impossible. We kind of think that our sins are quite small and the person who sinned against us is quite big. But here's the thing, we need to grasp that God has forgiven us an awful sin, a terrible debt. And that is, when we really grasp that, then we have the power to forgive people their impossible sins against us, the debt that they owe us. But the story gets a bit more uncomfortable than that. It's not just what we ought to do. It actually is a necessary thing. Not that we must forgive others in order to earn forgiveness, but that where we've really received forgiveness, it must show itself in being forgiving people. And it's deadly to fail to show forgiveness. To persistently fail to forgive shows that we haven't really received forgiveness. Jesus' words in verses 34 to 35 are shocking. As is often the case with Jesus, there's a much harder edge or sharper edge to his story than if we're telling it. Verse 34, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. It's a pretty shocking warning, but it's Jesus saying it. When we refuse to forgive those who've hurt us, at the point when they repent and acknowledge their sin, we show that we haven't grasped the enormity of the debt that God has forgiven us. And at its worst, if we persist in unforgiveness, we may show we've never actually received God's forgiveness. So remember, we're not saying we earn forgiveness this way, and we're also not saying that we just ignore sin. This forgiveness thing comes in at the point when someone says, I have done wrong. There is a debt that I owe you that I can't repay. Please forgive me. But having said all of that, there is then an absolute necessity to forgive. Otherwise, we're showing we haven't really received from God. It's as if God has made forgiveness something which has a two-way opening. Basically, it's a sort of tube that flows in and flows out. And unless I open both gates, I don't get anything coming in. I have to receive God's forgiveness, there also has to be forgiveness flowing out. And according to Jesus, the key thing in getting this going, in making this work, is to see that how I've treated God is 40,000 times worse than how anyone has treated me. The sin against God is so serious and weighty because he's my creator, and I sin against him every moment that I live without giving him the honour and glory that he's due, without living in line with who he's made me to be and how the world works. And we can see, if we're struggling to grasp it in terms of, well, how much do I owe God? The price that is paid to enable God to forgive us, the price that is paid as God cancels our debt, is that God the Son goes to the cross. Here's how Colossians 2 and verse 14 puts it. God forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So when I'm struggling to forgive other people, the place I go is the cross, to see that God has forgiven me, and to get again a sense of how big the debt is, how costly it is to deal with that sin. Ask God to show you more of your debt and of his grace to you, and to enable you to receive such fullness of forgiveness that you can overflow in forgiveness for others. It might be that's where you particularly need to focus on, that sort of sense of I need to know more of how much I'm forgiven. It may also be that as you think about the painfulness of what's happened, you need to go back and think, actually, I have never confronted the person. I've never told them. The reason there's unforgiveness is because I've never tried to show them the sin. We sort of go back to last week. So I need to have a conversation in which I say, actually, I was really hurt. That really did damage me. And then when they repent, we hope there'll be a chance then to forgive. And it may be that as you think about this thing, it's just very painful. There's very real situations you want to pray with others. Either talk to somebody after the service, or perhaps in home groups, to say, I need help. I need God to help me in forgiving someone who's wronged me. But what we're going to do now is we're going to respond by focusing in song on how much God has forgiven us. So I invite the music group up. We're going to focus on that, rejoice in that. Let that be the fuel for us as we go out this week, that we will be those who are forgiving because we have been forgiven much.